Before we begin this episode, I wanted to let you know that I'm deeply committed to making sure I always release, at the very minimum, good quality audio, especially now as I approach my 50th episode. I mean, I should have my act together at this point. And that is why I was torn on whether or not I should release this episode, because as I was saving the file, an error occurred that said that I ran out of disk space, and I believe this corrupted my WAV file for my track, so you can't really hear my voice at all. Fortunately, you can still make out me in the background, but I almost didn't release this. My guests were amazing, and I apologize in advance to them and to you guys as the audience, as I really wish everything saved and went according to plan, especially on this episode because we had such an amazing convo on this topic, and I even tried to re-record my part, but it was just too much, and it was unnatural at a certain point, and I just decided to release it as is and invest in more space, better programming, and equipment. So trust that this is a good episode. Otherwise, I wouldn't have still dropped it. But I will do better. Thank you. Special episode. First, I just want to say thank you guys for listening. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, please feel free to do so. You can go on thedeependpod.com. There you have all of our various platforms. You can follow us on social media. Today is going to be a very, very special episode. I have two special guests with me. First, let me introduce my first guest. He is a gaming video creator and streamer with a very engaged following, and if that wasn't cool enough, he's progressed his channels into a newly explosive world of crypto and NFTs. The creator of Battle Pugs, killing it across the board, Jaime Ceballos. Welcome to the show, my man.
Yep, thank you so much for having me.
And for my second guest, this is actually his first appearance on my show. He is an investor watcher in crypto and always had his own interest in technology, from introducing me to the very first Macintosh, Counter-Strike, AOL, Instant Messenger, cell phones, you name it. And he is now also into NFTs, and he is known in cyberspace as Grimms, a family man, building an empire one trade at a time. My bro, Charles Chuck Martinez. Welcome to the show, bro.
Pleasure, pleasure. Nice to be here.
Funny because it's like the first time I've ever had my brother Chuck on the show, which is like I'm on like episode 48 now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the first time that he's been on, which is pretty cool. First of all, Jaime, nice to meet you, and I'm glad that you're on the show, and thank you for taking the time. I know you're a busy person too.
You're on
schedule. You know, from what I understand, you come straight out of work, you go straight into doing your thing that you love to do. Mm-hmm. So thank you for making the time. Mm-hmm. One of the funny things is I hit up my brother and I asked him, you know, if he wanted me to pick up some brew or something to drink. Mm-hmm. And he told me that you weren't much of a beer drinker.
No.
He fired back with later. How about that Jameson and whiskey? Jameson whiskey.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. So not much of a beer drinker, huh?
No. I like to hit in one shot if I can. So one shot of a whiskey will do the trick and kind of loosen it up. It's actually my first podcast, so I'm really excited. I'm used to being on the camera, so not used to so much having the headphones and hearing myself. So that's a little bit different. But I was open to the idea once Chuck let me know. I think it was one of those. In my head, one of those opportunities where I just didn't want to let it go by, right? Regardless of the following, it was just something that I think would benefit me and try to see how this works, and also maybe doing something for you as well with the people that follow me.
You helped me big time because this was one of the topics that I wanted to cover, and today we're going to be talking about crypto and NFTs. But I told you earlier before the show, I'm actually more of a novice on this, so it's a lot of work to cover something as big as this, and there's just so much to it. I felt a little bit overwhelmed, actually, when I was just kind of taking those baby steps into it. I'm like, oh dang, this is there's a lot here. When I first just took a look into it, so mm-hmm. when my brother had said, he had mentioned you, and I was like, oh dang, man, that would be perfect. You know, if you could be on here. And you know, I could tap into a little bit of your mm-hmm. world and just kind of have my audience experience that. That would be mm-hmm. dope. So mm-hmm. yeah, so it was perfect. Mm-hmm. So when my brother had first met you, had you been doing streaming for a while since that time?
Yeah. So when he first met me, I was just kind of getting started there. So initially, kind of like the backstory, I initially started on Twitch, which is a streaming platform, very popular. So I'm sure most people know about it. But I started there, and it really didn't work out for me. I think I did like two streams or so, and it's such a big platform that, of course, the top people are the ones that get most of the traffic there. They see people, people fluctuate to where the people are. So if there's 10,000 people watching versus, you know, me that had like none or just one person, they'd more so go to that person with 10,000 than one, just because it seems more interesting because they have 10,000, right? It's just the people flock together. So I tried Twitch. It didn't really work. I feel like I didn't really get a chance. I kind of stopped there. I had everything built up because you have to build the different layouts for your stuff, and that way when you tune in, there's like, you know, different things on your screen that people can see. But I did that. I stopped for a little bit, and then I ran into cryptocurrency because I was doing stocks. So it initially started with just getting into stocks. And then I got interested in trying to make money.
I understand it that you started with streaming, you know, doing video gaming streaming. Mm-hmm. And now it's taking this turn into stocks and into crypto. Mm-hmm. Like, when did that turn happen exactly?
Okay, so I would say that once I really just kind of gave up on the Twitch part, I was like, I was looking to a way to make money. I'm always the kind of person that I'm really ambitious, and I'm trying to make money, but then to try to create some sort of empire. I didn't really know what I was creating or what I wanted to create. Video games has always been like a therapy for me growing up, younger sisters, and so I was always alone, and that's kind of really where the gaming side, like I know I wanted to do something, I just didn't know how. But how it was is I stopped doing the gaming thing, and I was like, you know what, let me just go into the stock thing. So I went into stock thing, playing with Tesla and different stocks, and then from that point it shifted over to the crypto, Bitcoin and Ethereum mostly, and I was just doing things on Robinhood, which is kind of like the, I guess you could say, the easiest, the most basic,
most accessible.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And then from that point, that's when I kind of like shifted over to finding where I currently stream. And that's
Did you have regular viewers that were listening or already watching your gaming stuff?
No, I literally had nobody. I started from scratch. Yeah, okay. Literally nobody on Twitch. I think that's why I gave up. I did, you know, one or two. I know you should probably last longer than that, but I was just like, you know what? No one's even giving me a chance. There's nobody even coming in at all. So that's when I kind of gave up on the Twitch thing.
So my brother games too. He plays Warzone, I know. Or have you guys played together?
Yeah, we played actually on his stream.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have?
Yeah, and then actually that kind of branched out into him playing with some of the cousins.
Yeah.
He played with Daniel, Nick, some of the boys, Scorpion, other gamers.
Yeah.
So were you guys clowning like normal, like how you guys normally do, Chuck?
Yeah. Usually we'd pick him up, or I would jump in, but he couldn't really talk because he's on stream.
Yeah.
So actually his attention is not really into the game, but he's still pretty good at the game. Yet he's still streaming at the same time.
So I think my approach is a little bit different. Like he's saying, I'm always going to be very community focused. So I'm playing, initially, again, I was just by myself with very few people, and I jump into his game, or he'd allow me to, you know, or he'd come to mine, or whatever the case may be. And then we kind of play together there, but never to talk, because, and maybe that might change in the future, but I just felt like the community and building that first would be beneficial for me. So even though I'm playing, I'm having a good time, and we even win sometimes, which is kind of funny because I'm paying attention and doing other things. But you know, but my focus is always and will always be my community first, and putting that first as the foundation has brought me to the success that I've gotten from there.
So when you were doing the gaming thing, did you have a bit of a community yet?
At the time that I was doing the gaming thing, it was small. I think I had like maybe at most like 3-4 people on Theta TV, and maybe a max of 5 that people were actually coming in and kind of taking a peek. Yeah, I know one of them was very young. One of them was just tuning in. It was just one of those. But I had the opportunity, because the platform's so small, to have people even just kind of jump in there. And then that's when it starts to build off of that. Yeah.
And so when you went and switched the conversation to stocks and to cryptocurrency, what was the difference there?
I mean, we would kind of talk about it. I mean, with Carlos here, we talk about it at work. So it was kind of like a work thing. We were just trying to see how we can make money. And it was just, honestly, it was fun. I don't know if it was fun for you.
So did you guys each like were into it, and then like it just so happened to be like, yo, were you into this, or what did it start at work?
He initially got me interested into the stock market because at work we do a lot of research. Yeah. Since basically the three of us would be there at work, and we would talk a lot about going to the moon, Virgin Galactic, SpaceX, Elon Musk. And he got me into Virgin Galactic very heavily, where I started to invest heavily. And then he started talking about Theta tokens and T-Fuel, other cryptos that he was picking up as he was, you know, also investing in stocks. And then pretty much the crypto market has kind of blown up within the last year.
No kidding, it really did.
I mean, I originally started there when I started working with Jaime. Bitcoin was at 10,000.
Yeah.
Now it's 60,000.
Well, that's the funny thing. Hasn't it, like, this year been, like, what they consider almost like a breakthrough for, like, cryptocurrency? You know, there's been a lot that's happened, I think. One, I know they're discussing about, like, regulation stuff that's been in the conversations. Two, I know that Bitcoin, I think, hit its all-time high this year. That's broken its own record.
Today.
Yeah, today.
Today.
Yeah.
It just peaked right under 70,000.
Oh, okay. So, well, dang. And I feel like, you know, it's been getting a lot of it's been drawing a lot of not just people, not just the general public, but also, like, big corporations and stuff want to kind of take that on and incorporate that. I know AMC announced that it'll be able to accept Bitcoin payments by the end of this year. PayPal and Square are also part of that, adopting that and allowing their users to use it on their platforms. And I know Tesla keeps going back and forth on it. So I feel like it's been growing as far as like the attention and the focus on cryptocurrency this year, particularly this year, compared to before. Am I wrong or right on that?
I would say, yeah, you're right. We have a saying, you know, my channel and the Theta Network is hashtag global adoption when it comes to cryptocurrency. I believe that they're starting to wake up to it. And like you said, we were at 10,000 a year ago, and now it has moved up. There's been ups and downs, right? But now closer to the $70,000 mark. But it's the fact that those corporations are coming in, and Tesla does own a certain amount, and Dogecoin actually was part of it, whether you like it or not, or think it's a meme token or not. Doge was helping out because the normal person was like, yo, have you heard of this dog coin, this Doge thing, and then now Shiba. So it's like it becomes like a chain effect of these things, and I think those are more like the doors to open the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, the Doge. Those are kind of the doors to start opening up, because there's more to crypto than just those. There's even, you know, the like the Theta Network. I'm sure we'll dive into it in a little bit, but having these altcoins that actually have tech behind them that are solving real world problems. But there's definitely more to the cryptocurrency space than just the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, and then those other little things. And I know AMC accepts like four different ones, Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash, and they're trying to accept the Dogecoin by the end of the year, and then Shiba by February of 2022, which is weird because you think these like meme coins, but they have so much traction, the following, the community, that it pushes these companies to accept it because there's money there, of course, and then the money runs the world, right? Yeah,
I think also too with the TikTok. Mm-hmm. TikTok thing back December last year, they had a big push. Everybody was putting out videos of invest $1,000, we're gonna have 20,000, 10,000, 20,000 once we push this meme stock or meme crypto. And then I was at work, I decided just to take a chance at it, and I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna buy some Dogecoin, in which they were both like, you know, that's cheap, why are you gonna buy that? Mm-hmm. And I think I just threw a couple $100 there within like a month, 2 months. That $200 went up 5,900%. All of a sudden, that was 18,000 or 20,000, whatever it was. And it was like, oh, it's not a joke no more. It's real. Like, it's real money.
You know? I remember this because, like, you know, I was telling you, Jaime, I've been kind of following news and updates and stuff, and mm-hmm. I saw Dogecoin come up, and I'm like, wait, isn't that the stock market, or isn't that the crypto that my brother got, you know? And he was on that early, and I thought that was just funny. I was like, how did you know to get that when you got that? Because now it's this big thing, and it's blowing up. Mm-hmm. Did you end up getting some of that Hyman too, or did you leave that?
No, I ended up getting like $10 or something. $10. I think no more than $100. Yeah, I might have tossed in and out. Because it was a meme coin, and I'm huge into the tech part more. So, but I mean, that's the thing, right? You don't really know what's going to happen. The community of Doge just took it and just ran with it, and he made massive profits.
When did it start to blow up? At what point did it just all of a sudden accelerate? Was it when Elon Musk got on board with it? Or
I think Dogecoin, the TikTok, Elon Musk jumping in, caused a real, like, it was like blood in the water. Piranhas just, all of a sudden, everybody's hitting me up the day it hit 75 cents. Hey, Chuck, how much should I buy? Should I buy 10,000? Should I buy 5,000? And at that point, it was topped out, in my opinion. So I would say you may want to wait, because technically, you might lose money at this point. But everybody wanted to jump on board, and you can't really tell them, like, hey, like, I jumped in last year. Sorry, you missed it. More like, hey, just wait, and then maybe, you know, do your research and start looking at others.
When it got like too inflated, where too much people were putting too much into it, was there a point when it didn't really meet what the real value of it was? Or
there's no Dogecoin really is. It's really nothing. It's just a token that people want to put their money in. And some people get left holding the bags, unfortunately, when the smarter ones maybe take their money at the top. I mean, somebody's losing money when someone else is gaining money. So just like the stock market, there's big boys and there's smaller boys, there's whales, there's amateurs, there's institutions, there's other people that invest. So you have to be careful because, I mean, whatever you're willing to invest, you also have to be willing to lose at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to mention this, Jaime, too. What Chuck just mentioned here, mm-hmm. Do you have any rules in place for yourself, like on that, or that you recommend in that case? Like he was mentioning, don't put in what you're not okay to lose. There should be principles like that we should do, right?
Yeah, there's something in my channel that I tell people because I did evolve from gaming into this more crypto now, the beginning portion of my stream. But I tell people all the time, don't FOMO. There's FOMO meaning fear of missing out. Don't FOMO into anything. Always dollar cost average into something. So, you know, whether that be $50 or $100, you know, every week, every 2 weeks, that is always better because at the end of the day, whether it's going up or it's going down, you get the average, the dollar cost average, right? The average price of, you know, that particular token at the time, right, over the span of 6 months or a year. So that would be my recommendation always.
And I guess it makes sense because if the leader is Bitcoin, right, mm-hmm. Is Bitcoin really considered the leader here?
Standard.
Crypto. Mm-hmm. If they're the leader and you're kind of watching that, last year I believe that it kind of took a dip in the summer, I believe, and then it came back up So if the leader, I would assume that you would kind of watch who's the leader, and that's probably why it's a good idea to not put in more than you're willing to lose as well, right?
I would say people compare to, yeah, people compare a lot of the cryptos because it was the first, right, to Bitcoin. It's like the gold, you know, that's what they call it. But yes, many people compare it. You're always going to compare it to the Bitcoin because Bitcoin was the first. It is the largest there. And then they it is, for some people, comparable to the gold and more like a hedge towards inflation even during these times.
Does it matter at all that China announced that they weren't mm-hmm. going to accept any crypto or that it was going to be illegal?
I don't think it really matters in terms of short term. So when you hear something like that, honestly, you will probably see a little bit of a dip, but you can't stop the adoption of crypto and what it's bringing. And I mean, I think they did that a couple months back. You see a little bit of a dip, right? A small change in the charts, and then it'll continue on. On its path normally, and I think China's done that like multiple times.
They've been banning Bitcoin miners mm-hmm. continuously. I mean, they have they're trying to create their own cryptocurrency as well. So
the digital yuan,
they might not like Bitcoin, but they also don't want to, they also know and are aware of something else is coming, and they just are trying to be part of that, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. So, what is the real opportunity here with crypto?
Crypto, I would say, is like almost like first mover. You're like the pioneer almost.
The beginning?
Yeah, you're really the beginning. We compare it to like the stock market. If you're at the beginning of the stock market, maybe 2 years ago, it was sketchy. Of course, you know, before that, even more so. But in this past year, since I started streaming, and again, around $10,000 mark, all right, people were so skeptical, but it has grown from that to 70,000, and these institutions are coming in. And I mean, I could keep going on. You got like Walmart having, I think they have like these little machines also that are able to spit out Bitcoin, but it's like with the Coinstar, they kind of like have you drop your coins in there and whatnot, so they take a huge percentage, but nonetheless, it's there. And in your local liquor store, I was going to say that there's probably, you'll see little things like that. I have a liquor store. I don't even think it should have a Bitcoin ATM there. I don't know how they got it.
probably not the best idea to buy Bitcoin at a liquor store.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to buy a $70,000 Bitcoin at a liquor store, probably not the best option, but.
There. Watch the fees.
Yeah. But it's available. In case you got it.
Yeah. In case you don't know where to buy it.
All right, in case you need to know where to stick $70,000 at, you know.
That's really who it's for, huh? It's like for those people who don't really know where to buy it, or you know, don't want to go through all that stream, and they just go mm-hmm. to that machine.
The novice investor.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. Yeah.
But as I told Jaime too, I mean the market cap of crypto or whatever is 3 trillion, or
yeah, right under that, like 2.9 right now, 2.9 trillion,
compared to the stock market, which is like I think 500 trillion or something crazy. So if you think that money moves, maybe 100 trillion of that moves into like the crypto market, you got to think about where would your Bitcoin be at that point. Could be 1 million, could be 500,000. That money gets spread throughout the rest of the coins. I mean, you could become instantly like, for instance, the Shiba Inu, guy invested $8,000 last year, and now he's $5 billion?
Something ridiculous, like $2 billion. I mean, any billion is ridiculous.
From $8,000, and now he's a billionaire at this point.
Crazy. That's how I see it as well. I do see it as, like you were saying, Jaime, you're really kind of a pioneer here on this new technology. And I think another thing that's kind of now turned things is is NFTs. And I remember I was talking with somebody. The way I heard about it was in conversation. We were at a party and somebody had brought up NFTs. I didn't know what it was. They were talking about it like in trading cards, but digital. Mm-hmm. And you know, the conversation always that I've noticed with my friends has ended up being, well, you know, it's really nothing because it's digital, so you don't really own anything. There's nothing there that you have. But to me, it feels like it's more than that, because even though I get the skepticisms, you know, what is it that you're really owning? I get it. But in a way, it's still, I feel like, something that is going to just, we're going to see more and more of it in all aspects. And it being tied with, like you were saying, blockchain and everything makes it much more viable as a new tech as well. And, you know, I've seen artists already selling, you know, their work, their artwork for up to millions of dollars, just for some like art pieces that they've done. There was one artist named Grimes this year sold, earlier this year sold up to 6 million worth of digital artworks after putting them up for auction. So if you're totally perplexed as to what's really happening here, join the party, because, you know, slowly growing into popularity, NFTs have now exploded within this past several months as this new hot tech thing. And this tech thing stands for non-fungible token, which allows buyers to purchase ownership of digital goods using an image or animation or video or any form of unique digital token living on blockchain. How do you think NFTs change the game, Jaime?
So with NFTs, and I can go ahead and hear talk about. So I stream on Theta TV. It's part of the Theta network, and this Theta network or Theta token, it's an altcoin, a different project, and it's like a peer-to-peer decentralized. So like I kind of say they're changing up the game in terms of how they feed video content delivery to one another. It's essentially like nodes, like we pass it between each other, the internet's shared between each other, and we all get paid for watching, say, my stream. You watch my stream, you're making cryptocurrency, and that's kind of leading towards. So this Theta TV where I stream also has this platform called Theta Drop, and they have NFTs there. And I think that these NFTs, and we have our own again, those battle pugs that you were mentioning. These NFTs are more. I know people think of it as images or videos, and there are that. But they're evolving to other things. This is just the beginning of what NFTs are in terms of now, right? Again, these battle posts are just images. People are collectors, just like a Funko Pop. You want to collect these little items, and they're pretty neat. They're limited because we have a limit to them. We put, you know, there's only 200 in the world. Well, guess what? Those 200, 2 years from now, if this particular platform or these items get really rare, 200 is a little bit compared to thousands and millions of people trying to get these things. But these NFTs, as they start to evolve, and again, I'm going to mention Theta Drop. We have like Katy Perry, the likes of Katy Perry, won championship if you're into martial arts, and also they're currently working with World Poker Tour. So these things are going to evolve to more than just an NFT image and video, but also redeemable type items. And those are already there and something that we've been playing with already. So think, and there's been conversations with Katy Perry of having her like props, her clothing that she wears during her videos, and have those attached to NFTs. So the NFT is actually redeemable. The NFT can come with backstage passes for, say, Katy Perry, or ringside seats for One Championship. So these things are evolving to not just images, but also ticketing, right? Maybe taking Ticketmaster out of the way. There's something happening with the Theta network. There's something called Tickets, TK, I think ETS, they have a .io, and they have like a particular way that they're doing tickets much cheaper. I don't need a middleman, right? There's a lot of this decentralized stuff that's happening. You take out the middleman, meaning more profits for you and me. And so they're taking those things out. You can make your own live podcast if you really wanted to in these NFT ticketing, NFT ticketing way. And push off the costs to us, or you can even eat some of these minimal costs, 30 cents to say a $10 ticket to come watch you live. And it's an NFT ticket that they have to, you know, use to tune in. Again, this is more than, just images. This is the next level things. And a lot of people just don't know unless you're in it. Yeah.
Wow. So my brother was showing me your page. And I found it just so interesting because when I first heard about you, it was streaming. Mm-hmm. And then now, when you updated me just recently, I went to your page, and then I see NFTs that mm-hmm. you've created. And I'm like, what? He got his own series, his own collection? He's like, yeah, he has his own series, his own collection. And then it shows you like what they're going for. You can trade them, how many there are, what's the rarity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this dude just created his own like empire really quick, his own collection. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of this community. Right. Like, you know, which was like so mind-blowing to me in my understanding of NFTs. Because at first, when I first heard about NFTs, it was all about, oh, well, it's just a collection of like cards or something, like, but mm-hmm. digital. And to me, that just it didn't add up to me. I felt like there was something more to it. And then when I see you doing with it, I'm like, dang, that like totally opened up my eyes to, oh, this is what this could be. And what you're doing, how did you get into then actually creating the NFT? Like, how did it work into that?
So on Theta TV, where I stream, it's kind of like all intertwined. So essentially it's the Theta Network, and they're just kind of showing the way that the system works. Like they're showing proof of how it works, that you are able to essentially stream video using other people. Like, again, like I said, you're using your excess bandwidth to push out to other people or to the stream, and you're getting paid. So they're essentially kind of doing that the peer-to-peer system, and they kind of have it didn't start like that, right? They had emotes, so emojis, think emojis but for chat. And so they had that, and it evolved to NFT emojis, or they're emotes, but they're NFTs. So the people that come into my channel at certain times, I give them an NFT. It's an emote, but it's actually an NFT. They actually own it via the Theta blockchain. So people have to understand that NFTs, the non-fungible token, is, you know, it's like trading art pieces. There's no real value to it, and you can't trade one for one, right? I can have this particular art piece that might be the same as Chuck here, but I have edition one, he has edition two. The value is a little bit different versus a fungible, which is the easiest way to say is like a dollar for a dollar. If I give you a dollar right now, you can trade me a dollar for a dollar. That's fungible. Or a Bitcoin for a Bitcoin, because they're the same price. Right. But the non-fungible part, of course, is like those unique parts, like a different art piece. This art piece that you may have on the wall of the Joker, you know, versus my art piece. Yeah, these are different things, and they're valued differently as well.
But I think it's also interesting too is that now, what's different? Excuse me. What's different is that in a digital era, anybody before could just take a copy of an image and, you know, reproduce it. You never knew where it really came from or what was the origin. Whereas now, it tied to a blockchain, you know exactly which one's the original. So if someone would be like, oh, this is the original, okay, well, prove it. I don't see the token. Mm-hmm. You know, then you know, okay, it's not the original, you know. So there's a difference there.
Yes.
As well.
The NFT has like before. Right. You're right. The NFT essentially has like a fingerprint, you know, think of it like that, of who made it, what edition, you know, like a who, what, where, when, why, you know, kind of situation where you can find out exactly who made it. Now I have my battle pucks, for example, on Theta Drop, and Chuck comes in here and tries to do battle pucks as well, using my images on even another blog. It could be Ethereum, but you know the real creator and where it stems from, because you can see my signature on these battle pugs. Mm-hmm. And then of course that comes with different rights, and if you sell them royalties, I mean, it goes deep if you start talking about that.
The royalty thing was interesting, mm-hmm. Chuck, because I was watching Gary V talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
His favorite, by the way.
Yeah, V Friends. Yeah.
I swear he's a millennial, but I don't know. I don't think he is, but he talks like one. But he was talking about how there was, or the idea that schools can sell the books like as NFTs, and then even if it's resold, you'll still get royalties from that still, which is a crazy aspect to how this opens up the door for just everybody. Everybody gets, you know, gets some in this. Like what you just mentioned, mm-hmm. how you could still get royalties from it, which I thought was just super interesting. It also, I think, changes the landscape for music as well, I would mm-hmm. imagine, or even just for artists in general.
Mm-hmm.
he was talking to an artist, I forget which artist, but he was suggesting that, you know, he get on it with TikTok, with NFTs, and start making it accessible for his fans, where it's like they join the fan club or they join the community by getting these tokens, these NFTs, and it gives them more access to all these different things. And he was just really opening the world to the possibilities of what this could really become, which is, I don't think everybody really realizes that yet on what, on where we're at here and what this could potentially be. And I just remember him saying, it's big, it's big. And I don't know. So you like Gary Vee too as well, huh?
Yeah, I'm huge into like motivational type speakers. So Gary Vee is someone that I just ran into. You know, there's Steve Harvey, there's Jocko, there's a bunch of different people that I listen to get that motivation, the inspiration, and that fuel to keep going. That's one of those things on my channel, bringing the energy. Well, I get it from other places as well. Keeping your mind right is the foundation. If you can keep your mind right, and just like this podcast, just like anything you do in your life, if you're focused and you got that mental part figured out, then you can, you know, sky's the limit. Yeah.
Is it true? Were you able to transfer Chuck into an NFT at all? Was that?
No, we had originally talked, and really we can't really discuss in detail on that because that's something that hasn't really became into existence yet.
Yeah.
My bad.
But I guess just our creative minds, and he did approach me about doing a project for himself, his channel stream, which may have included, and I don't know if anybody knows me, but I am Grimms in his chat. So we are your buddies, coworkers, friends. But yeah, that's something that could be a possibility in the future. But yeah.
So we have other projects like he's talking about, like I guess you can say like inspiration, and that's how I get my community involved, right? People that are dropping ideas and the nice, because I'm big into vision. I might not be able to do the art, but I try to I see things. I'm just trying to put it down on paper and see if someone else can envision the same thing and put it down. So as we're speaking about ideas and things like that, I'm like, you'd be a perfect fit for an NFT that I'm working on, a different project that people don't even know about yet, and it is almost complete. But just to have it there, because I'm all about the immersion of it. So there's an NFT, project that we're working on, and due to all the things that, you know, that he's done for me, the channel, ideas and things like that, why not put you in here? Get a particular NFT that's inspired by you. Maybe I can't do it fully, right? Because things have to, you know, adjust and things like that. But the NFT is inspired. And how does that make you feel? You know, like you're like, man, I'm part of it now. Yeah. I'm part of it. And that just this is how I like to involve people.
Also, I was going to say, since we mentioned the battle pug, you have to know that he's a big pug lover and a big inspiration. His dog Winston for the battle pugs. I mean, there's a strong correlation between those two and his love for his pug.
Right. And that, yeah, see, that's another good thing to mention, that all these, ideas, they stem from somewhere, right? The creative, like I've always loved that medieval. And then I love my dog. I don't have any kids or nothing. My dog is my kid. And in some way, I don't even remember how it happened. It's like one of those things that happened slowly. Then all of a sudden it just came together, like medieval warriors, pugs, battle pugs, and it just came together in that moment to create these NFTs. Luckily, I've been now partnered up with Theta TV, meaning I've gone up the ranks and I was able to be then featured on Theta Drop. So there's like a ecosystem thing happening with the Theta Network, the streaming side, the NFT side. But yeah, that's how all the ideas come, to fruition. It really starts just with the little idea, these little talks, and then my dog, you know, and all these things just end up blowing up and having something big. And when I mean these NFTs are big now, you know, started at $10 packs. One of my biggest unit so far, which is the Theta Pugs, you know, it's like the company's emblem on the pug. The most expensive one has gone for $8,400 of a $10 pack. So that's what you have to start thinking about. And why? It's because community. It's because fan engagement, both in my channel and in the Theta Network. And that's what people have to realize, because even you in your podcast, your podcast can be an NFT. And if Chuck here loves your podcast, he wants to own it, he's like, I'll give you $20. Then I come in, no, 100, 200, 500. And then that's what your podcast is actually worth. It's what people deem it to be worth, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, it's its own market in, right, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So after you're done with videos of talking about this and such, where does the community still continue the conversations? Where does it end up happening at? Is it in general all platforms covered up, or is it mainly like geared into one platform where people talk about, you know, crypto or any of these interests that we've been discussing? Is there certain platforms where people go to talk about this stuff?
So the one in particular that I keep talking about and that I promote is the Theta Network. Now there's Discords and there's like Twitter and Instagram that you can follow for those things. But my personal, if you're just talking in general, like umbrella, honestly, and it's kind of weird, right? You want to look at YouTube videos and you want to look at Reddit. Now, don't follow the financial advice from people that don't know what they're talking about, but it's good to get information. Definitely YouTube videos, definitely Reddit. If you're looking at like the Theta Network or specifically, you know, my channel, trying to ask questions, because we're more than, you know, welcome to, you know, to take questions from, you know, it doesn't have to be about the Theta Network. It could be general crypto stuff. You know, we have Discords and Twitters, and Twitter's really like, almost, it's very pro crypto versus something like Instagram. In my personal opinion, crypto is pro, and you can see that they even added the ability to give like Bitcoin donations. I don't know if you've noticed that, Bitcoin donations, and even I think that there's a way through PayPal or Venmo or something like that, but definitely like crypto donations as well. But these are like the avenues that you can go. I would definitely say YouTube for some videos, Reddit, and just a crypto Reddit. But beware, I'm not saying this is not financial advice. We always want to throw that out there because people are going to say, yo, this is the next big thing. Don't do that. Do your research. If you're investing in anything, you should be spending hours and hours before you drop your hard-earned money into literally anything. And then we do the dollar cost averaging thing like we spoke about, you know, $50 a week. $10 a week, whatever the money, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's just a matter that you're investing. And there's also a saying that I want to tell you, that there's a quote that say, I'd rather lose money in cryptocurrency than possibly miss out on the greatest opportunity of our lifetime. So that's what people have to think. Like if you were in crypto or in stocks at the beginning, where would you have been now? Same thing. You're in the beginning, whether you think you're late, early, you're still early. Right, there's not that many people that know about it. We're talking about it here because you're still on the fence about it because you think it's fake. Many people think it's fake, mm-hmm. But the Bitcoin 70,000, the money's real. You know, so that's what people have to understand, that there's something happening whether you're on board or not. There's something happening in the background, and we compare this to the internet boom. This crypto is coming, and it's coming fast enough so that the government is talking about regulation, and Walmart is looking to build teams. Amazon's building teams. Apple's building. They're building teams. So it's under the radar until the teams are built. Then it's not so much.
And banks are scared.
Yep.
Because a lot of money's being moved around, being put in, you know, different places, no longer under your mattress. It could be on a disk drive. It could be anywhere. You know, you might not know where it's at.
Yeah. I think for sure it's, you know, because one of the things that's really kind of hard to predict things. Like all we can really do is speculate, and we don't really have like a history to speculate from because it's so new. So it's really kind of, you know, even somebody who might be considered an expert, really, it's still kind of like no one really knows, you know, because this is all brand new. And that's the thing that I think is really fascinating about it, is that it is brand new technology, and you're right, we can be pioneers in it if you're researching it and doing it the right way, and not just going with, you know, the hype or whatever, and doing it the right way. You know what? I did want to ask you, because you had brought up Reddit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you when the whole Reddit GameStop thing happened? What were your thoughts about that when that?
Oh, the GME. I think I was phasing away from stocks during that time, but I didn't even need to be in that particular stock to start talking about the way that community and what happens when now the people gather against these, you know, these institutions. They gather as one and they go and cause a ruckus. You know, they're like, buy this and hold it and don't sell, you know, and they start driving the price up because, you know, they had some sales that were supposed to go through at a certain price and the institutions are freaking out, so they have to buy more, and it just goes from left to right. You start to see this community style. Again, GME, AMC, I think you hold some AMC, Carlos. Those things, I mean, you're starting to see the normal man, the normal woman actually start to, you know, almost take charge of their life, almost giving one to the man as they gather on these Reddits, Discords, and Twitters and whatnot.
Yeah, it made history for sure. That was the first time ever since something like that happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, the information is there, instant. I mean, if someone says, hey, buy this, you know, by the time you blink, a million people are reading the same thing that was just posted. And it spreads so fast that they can't stop it.
Now, that's illegal, really, to organize or strategize something like that, right? That's supposed to be illegal. But how are you going to find that on Reddit? I don't know how that works.
Maybe where it originated from.
Wall Street Bets
is something for stocks.
So that's
for
the whole debate, is like whether or not these platforms like Robinhood had the jurisdiction to like prevent people to buy that stock, you know, and because it really should be on like, you know, New York Stock Exchange or whoever like the end person is, that they should be the ones doing or not placing those orders. But instead, Robinhood took the liberty to be like, we're going to cut it here.
Yeah.
You guys have thoughts about that?
Yeah. Like, we had moments on Robinhood where the money was moving so fast. I mean, it was breaking the system. I mean, it was overloading Robinhood. They couldn't fill the orders, or they just stop people from being able to sell or pull out their money or buy more when it was going up. So,
because it's really sky's the limit, right? At this point, like, anybody can really
buy. Right. If you would have
stopped that,
if you would have jumped in on the day that, I think the first time it went up, I mean, it was skyrocketing straight up. You put $100 there, next thing you know, it's $1,000, like within like minutes or seconds or whatever. So you have to figure the money's moving, it's going crazy. And Robinhood can't really cover all this, you know, money that really shouldn't be, you know, going up so fast, because it's not normal. It's not a normal. I mean, there's no stock that's going to shoot up thousands of percent within a day. You know, it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, you would think the money's on hand. It's not really on hand. That's why they can't pay out.
Right.
You know, they can't. There's no way. So they stop it. But I mean, what does that tell you? That also goes back into, you know, what the data network is trying to do with decentralized. Everything decentralized, power to the people for everybody, versus someone like Robinhood just saying, nope, we're done. And then every exchange just kind of says, we're stopping here, right? And now I don't know if exchanges like that will, you know, you probably have to go to like brokerage where you can go direct. That's the thing, right? We somehow as a people are trying to gain that foothold. If you start to notice all around the world, we're trying to gain a foothold, whether it's, you know, and we won't dive into like the vaccine thing or whatever. People are like, no, for the people, we decide. And I think this is something as well with the crypto and decentralization and things like that, for the people.
And that's really what the blockchain has really done, is decentralized this and made it in our hands, in the people's hands, of the people are really the ones validating these transactions, or who owns what, the tokens, by the tokens, which I think is just completely amazing how this technology has come up. I don't know how long this has been in development for, but blockchain to me seems like that's going to really change everything. And I'm just like waiting to see when our banks, or when our big companies like Amazon, or when are they going to start moving in that direction of, I guess supposedly the rumor is that Amazon and like Walmart were looking for like blockchain leads or people who do that or something.
Job postings.
Yeah, job postings of it or something like that.
So, but they don't accept it.
Interesting to
right?
see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be pretty interesting to see. But it goes back to the decentralizing, like you were saying, and that is a big time factor, because as we just see in this example with Robinhood, what happens when we're not the ones with the keys in our hand, something like that can happen where you can be prevented or limited to what you can do. And it really, I understand Chuck's point though of why they would have done that, because, and your point too on why they would do that or make that decision. But I guess it is a bit of a controversial decision, isn't
right.
it? Do they have really that jurisdiction to do that? Or maybe they have some things to work on and think about then, if, you know, on the next time.
Yeah, because I think they do it in reverse all the time.
Yes.
With pumping.
Yeah.
And then the big hedge funds, they're just collecting millions and millions and millions of dollars
right.
at your expense.
Right.
Say you invested $100, maybe you lost $100, but it went to them.
Right.
And, you know, you know, a thousand times over,
that's
millions
yeah,
of, you know, millions yeah. of dollars. So on that end, it's okay. But when it's on the opposite end and they lose money, it's not a great thing.
Isn't that the way it always right. is?
Yeah.
So with back to NFTs,
mm-hmm.
You know, for those who are more skeptic on it, you know, what do you say to those people, Jaime, who are more skeptic about it? You know, because of things like, the .com, you know, or the internet boom or whatever, you know, who are maybe not exactly believers about mm-hmm. it. What do you say to those about NFTs?
I would definitely say to keep an open mind, because, you know, NFTs, you know, I think whether we like to see it or not, it's going to be a thing, and it's a thing now, right? These are celebrities. These are you know, the MLBs jumping on them, NBA Top Shots, which has NFTs. I mean, whether you're jumping on the bandwagon or not, it's coming, because it's a special way to provide, you know, these goods, whether it's video or images or redeemables of any sort, to their fans, and maybe again to be able to join in a concert, a live concert online, that's a ticket, but you couldn't be there initially because you live somewhere else. You're able to see it then live. Somebody has it. There's probably a cameraman holding there, but you're there. You're next to all these other, you know, fans. I think that keep an open mind. These NFTs are being very, you know, they're blowing up because of the way that you can authenticate, you know, where it came from, who it came from. If it's a Disney NFT, you know it's a Disney NFT. If it's an NBA, you know, from NBA, then you know it's from them. And it's just pushing the fan engagement, and it's something to give back in terms of a collectible, I guess is the best way to say it. And I think people just have to, again, like I keep saying, just keep an open mind on what they're doing with it. It's going to continue to evolve. Yeah, I know it's the beginning. It's an image. Yeah, I can screenshot an image, but the difference is the NFT gives you proof that you own the image or where it came from, where it originated from. You don't own it. You can take a screenshot, but you can't sell it, right?
Right.
Chuck wants this picture of this cup. Well, you just screenshotted the cup. You know, that picture is actually yours to sell. Like a Mona Lisa, I take a photo, but you don't own the painting. I can sell it to him because I own the Mona Lisa. You just took a screenshot of the Mona Lisa. And there was even talks of doing that. And
I was skeptical as well. I was a very big skeptical NFT. I mean, he would tell me about it, and I'm like, I mean, yeah, we could screenshot it. I mean, I really didn't get it either. I mean the thetadrop.com, the marketplace where he's at, now it becomes like, oh, now you have your collection, you have your currency there, you have your T-Fuel, you
it's
have
like your whole ecosystem.
It changes your ecosystem. It's like kind of like having maybe an Instagram, but on a marketplace. It's kind of like an eBay, but you could also show off your NFT pictures or collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's other people on his Theta TV that are also on there as well, which have popular stuff that's available for sale or to buy, to trade. I mean, there's competition. I mean, it's kind of like a game. Your name is there. You see your name on the top. Maybe I have number one. Maybe you have number 70. Hey, it's a sense of pride. Hey, I have number one.
No, that's mm-hmm. an interesting thing, because when I think of this, I think of it in terms of Call of Duty or Fortnite. Because in those games, you know, I realize that you're buying these skins, and they'll release them from time to time. But the difference here is that, say Fortnite were to do it, and they all be unique skins that nobody else has. There's a difference, you know. Once it's something that's yours, you own it. It's there's something that Gary Vee was talking about too. It's the reason why, you drive a Mercedes. It's different from like a Honda, or it's different from like if you're wearing a different type of shoes or different clothing, it's different branded. It might be some sort of sentiment of class. It might be, you know,
like a status.
Ownership. It's different.
Your success. Status. Mm-hmm. Being successful.
Yeah. And, you know, people who stunt these skins, like in these gaming platforms, you know, they're stunted digitally. And I think, well, would there be a time when there is this digital universe where people have created cities and different things? So they're saying that there might be a place in time where you might spend more for a digital home than a physical home.
Yes.
Or more on a car that's digital than a real car.
Yes.
Which is completely mind-boggling to me on how could that be. But I can see that maybe there might be a place in time, I don't know how long in the future, but that could be a possibility, that can even open up to that point.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's going to be that long with the metaverse being created, and that's another whole thing. It's like a digital world that's going to come into play. If you've been following like Facebook or Meta now, right? They're called Meta. It's not an accident that they're called Meta, and there's a metaverse being created, right? That's also going to come into play here pretty soon. And NFTs, there's already a way to, it's called play to earn. So people can play video games now. There's different projects. The most popular ones like Axie Infinity, Splinterlands, that are play to earn games. You play, you actually could sell those NFTs, right, to earn, right? You sell those NFTs, you make money, and you can live off gaming. And that's the new thing as well. Play to earn games are coming and pretty quickly. But the difference is right now, I think they need to start focusing on the game first versus the NFT. Right now, the NFT and the money is first before the game. So the games are like, they're okay. But once you see that turn where somebody uses the tech and they love gaming and they put the game first and there's just NFTs layered behind it, think of World of Warcraft or New World, Pokemon. Or those MMORPGs, Pokemon. Those Pokemon, Call of Duty, the Fortnite, it doesn't really even matter. Yeah,
right.
Sims, it doesn't really matter. You can buy this item, NFT, sell it on a marketplace, and you can live in the game
right. And
live in the world.
Right. Yeah, and that's what Jaime does. He creates custom stuff where you could put it on the marketplace. I could buy it. Say I bought it, you know, $20. I want to put it up for sale. Just put $100. Let it sit there. Somebody else wants it. You get a notification. Your item's been sold. Your account's been updated. It's that simple.
Now, you can imagine, Jaime. My brother and I were discussing this with my mom. Trying to introduce her to the world of NFTs, and she was just like, what? I don't get it.
She's in crypto.
My brother got her into crypto, so he's putting it on.
That's game. Awesome.
But just so much to this world, and I feel like we're just barely touching the surface of really what it can do or what it is. It's going to be really fascinating to see what this develops to become to be, and where the people who are riding the ship end up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I do feel like it is very early on, just like in the early stages of the internet or early stages of whatever technology that became big later, like we're on the edge of that, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting time to be alive, to be able to witness this. And, you know, most of, I think, this generation or era has been around since the beginning of the internet and the birth of computing, and just to already be at this point, to see it accelerate, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting. VR technology, do you think that's something that's still more long-term? Or what do you envision that to be, where it's more accessible, you think?
VR, I think it's going to continue to push and start to actually come into play with that metaverse that we were talking about. So the Theta Network is one of those that started off with the VR portion, and that's been a huge push for them. And they're partnered up with Samsung. So they're actually, their network, their peer-to-peer network, the reason that they're doing this is because they're seeing that there's limitations with our current, the way that we have like servers right now. The costs are very high and they're not able to push with 4K and so on being done. There needs to be a different way, right? And this way is, and trust me, you're going to hear about the Theta Network as it continues to grow, but the way to have us all be like a nuclear reactor, we're all self-powering, giving to each other and being able to power that metaverse, we call it the Thetaverse where we are, and the VR tech that's coming into play. There's patents that are coming with Theta, like cameras inside the game, like you think like Ready Player One, like those movies, the camera is inside the game and you're able to watch in the game, not a camera, like you're literally in the game watching. And this is when different things like the esports come into play. And esports, if you haven't noticed, go check the numbers, keeps growing. It's not stopping anytime. And COVID just gave it like a steroid, right? The Zoom calls and everything digital.
Because it's a gaming during this time of quarantine.
But steroid. It just got shot up. And this with the VR, I think it's going to blow up. We're talking like 360. I turn around, I can see the whole map. I'm in the game, essentially. And these are the technologies that have already been happening. Data Network has been doing it for like 5 years, already building up to this. I'm sure Facebook's been doing their own thing. Now, I think the thing with Facebook would be more like, I would hope it would be decentralized if you're doing a world, right? Yeah. Having somebody have power over it does not really.
How come people aren't as excited about the metaverse? Because I hear that it's been his introduction to it was kind of like a flop. Mm-hmm. I don't know why people aren't really excited. Is it because it's not decentralized, or?
But probably they're probably on the edge. At least crypto people, we'd be like, you know, me and Chuck would be like, like.
But not everybody was excited about the internet as well. The internet first came out, people were skeptical, and I'd rather read a book than read it online, or I'd rather. You know, once Google came along and all of a sudden every answer is at the tip of your fingers.
Crazy, huh?
Every answer. I mean, there's nothing that you cannot find just by saying it to Siri or to, you know, yeah, to Alexa or whoever. Right. So, I mean, I think there's always skeptical people up front. But, I mean, you can't deny what, you know, this is going to become. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Facebook also owns, I believe, Oculus, mm-hmm. which is the VR platform. So, I mean, obviously it goes hand in hand, you know, to where they're going to be, and they're big companies. So
the challenge I see with Oculus is like I don't have really any friends or cousins that are on it, so I find it just to be by myself, and you know I have to pay for the programs, which I don't, or the games I don't mind doing, but I think I lose the sense of like that community because. And there is a room that you can go into to like chat with other people, mm-hmm. I guess, but it is a little weird for me because I'm like. It's just me in this digital, you know.
We're not there yet. We're not quite there yet.
Yeah, but I'd rather be at a real party or something.
Yeah, but before you know it, it could be just boom.
But before you know it, once it's accessible, once it's in everybody's hands, once it's more,
I think you hit it on the head when you said there's no community there. What happens if the opposite happens? What if everybody's there?
Right.
Everyone just will dive in because they're like, I mean, they already do it. Think of like a Farmville on the metaverse and you come see my farm. You probably don't care about my farm, but you're like, yo, check this out. Well, look at my digital shoes. They're doing NFTs. Like Nike has they patented a name 2019, Crypto Kicks. Smart. Whoever did that is a genius because now they can come out and you buy, like you said, homes for the same price. Well, guess what? Your Nikes digitally are the same as the Nikes you wear. They're going to be worth the same price, but they're digital. But guess what? I'm able to rep my kicks in the metaverse.
Now, what does this mean for the actual physical world? You know,
Route of touch.
Going more and more digitally.
Route of touch.
Yeah.
But I think it's too because, I mean, nowadays not everybody has a family. Not everybody has money to leave to somebody. I mean, why not? I mean, why not put, you know, my fake world house, my pictures, my NFTs, dive all in? Because even with crypto, you may have had Bitcoin. Maybe you had 10 Bitcoins 20 years ago. Maybe you passed away. That money's gone. Nobody has access to that money. That money just disappeared into thin air. Nobody's ever going to claim that Bitcoin. It's just there.
Yeah.
And same thing with, I think, the metaverse. Why not just create a home that's there forever, but even after you're gone, right?
It's a way to showcase. And yeah, you can be like in Florida and I can be here in California and you're still able to be in my house.
Your mansion.
Right? My mansion.
Right.
And it's your like the
art.
Yeah. And it's like the thing, like, I mean, look at social media. You gotta look at that too, because it's all about image.
Right.
So look at my house, the biggest house, the best shoes. Digital
my friends, right?
I have the most friends on my list. What and
point? Who I know, who's my friend, right?
Right.
And I'll be able to be seen in the metaverse digitally. It's kind of, again, we're going back to that status thing or that mental part. I'm sure that's going to do something in the physical where we're definitely going to be disconnected. And that's why we have a lot of anxiety these days because we don't have this person-to-person type conversation. I don't know when's the last time I went out because I'm trying to create content. But, you know, it does happen. And as imagine when people start getting into the metaverse, mm-hmm. I think that's going to, I mean, it's definitely going to have to, it's going to open up different doors, good things and bad things, both.
Yeah, because imagine if COVID was always here and we'd had to always stay inside. People would just be creating their little home metaverse. Yeah. Or I think they had the game Animal Crossing, which kind of blew up recently, which was another come to my island and you have to have your own thing to come fly to my island to check out my house.
This is a bit right. Already,
huh? It's already starting, but on smaller levels. Right. And I think they kind of just kind of release it and see where it goes. And I mean, Animal Crossing was huge. I got this guy to buy a Animal Crossing, Nintendo
DS Switch, or, like a limited edition.
Yeah, limited edition. Because I mean, it's just so big. My daughter and her friends and her cousins, everybody right. had it. Right. Right. I didn't know what it was, but they all did. And they were all playing together all night long.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's like that. Someone said in my chat before, and I thought that word was awesome to say, that, like, the sense of tribalism. Mm. We need the other to accept us, and we want to be part of that group because we want to be accepted. And that's just, I mean, you're now we're talking deep rooted, right. You know, in humans.
Primitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, these people that are doing these things and creating, maybe not always bad intentions, but they know what they're doing as well, and tapping into those things that you know will get to us, and we want to, you know, our normal house might not be in order, but my meta house is actually right. in order, and that's fine because that's all you see.
And I think it's similar too to even like Amazon. I mean, not going to a store anymore for what? Or maybe I don't have the time, or maybe I'm gonna be home late. Why don't I just order it on Amazon and tomorrow morning it's there? It's the same thing, I think, with like this metaverse. Is like, there's no point to go anymore. I don't need to go out. I don't need to go talk to Jaime. Jaime could come to my metaverse house and, you know, leave a message. He was there or whatever, you know. But, so, I mean, it's just I think a lot of it is too, like all the algorithms, all the information, Facebook's collected, Instagram, it's just out there. And maybe people really want that because they said that something's going around where people will invest more into not themselves or their people, but into like their fake image, or they would rather spend more money in that area more than in their actual life, right? So,
right.
And I could touch on that too with in terms of like not going out. I think there's already like get-togethers that are like clubs in these rooms. I think it's like something called Rec Room. Like it could even be in the metaverse, but clubs in the metaverse. There's already something that Decentraland did, and that's another blockchain project. They had a concert, and I think Paris Hilton was there, digitally was there, but there was a concert, and the actual if you look up the screen, there was actually DJs playing, but you're a character in the metaverse, so you're starting to see the worlds fuse almost. So you're in the metaverse as a character, but as you look at your screen, you look at a screen with a live person. So it's they call that like a Web 3.0, where we can get these videos, like a decentralized video. And again, Data Network does it, where you can get this video. You have a website, and you could just, with a few lines of code, be able to post it on your website. It's decentralized. Nobody has control. Like, they can't take you down or nothing because it's decentralized. Yeah, there's a small fee or whatever, a fraction of the fee, and you're just able to put it up. And this is like keen for what's happening. Decentralized. Have my own world. Concerts online. Why would I go to a real concert there's been a situation just recently, people are getting smashed at concerts or whatever. And I can be just in the safety of my home and have the same good time because I'm still watching them live. In a sense, live.
Right.
The new life, I guess you could say. The new way of life.
Right.
The new way of life, the new way of live.
That is crazy. I was going to ask you, do you think that because we would be transitioning to this digital world or metaverse, I know we're talking about being decentralized, but do you think there's ways of it being actually controlled, where we're more controlled because we're on the metaverse?
I guess that's the way that you look at it. Controlled as it, the plots of land can be controlled by you and the person or whatnot. I think we will control the people. But if you want to talk deep, who's controlled, like, mentally?
Right.
Yeah, if you want to talk, who's actually controlled and we're not out driving or nothing because we're controlled by the technology, but we control the land in the technology. But what's the overall?
But I think in big, over the big picture, yeah, we're all controlled. I mean, we all have a social security number. We all have a driver's license. Sure. We're being tracked. I mean, they want to know your vaccine card. I went to a Raider game. They want front and back of my social security, my driver's license, my name, my address, phone number, family members, everything, just to go to the game.
What'd you drink last night? You know?
So, I mean, somebody has this information. Yeah. And, I mean, somebody probably controls the masses, you know. And like I said, they're going to continue to try to control. But all the people could do, I guess, is technically fight back, make it more harder for them, right?
So what do you think is the big, like, what's going to be the big turn where more people start to pay more attention to this? Do you think there will be, is it the point when maybe certain businesses start to invest more in banks and stuff like that? That's when it starts to take a more of a turn?
Yeah, I think with cryptocurrencies in general, and NFTs and things like that, yeah, it's when the banks start jumping in. They're actually creating teams as well, and they let their wealthy clients, their family clients is what they call them, kind of play with like JP Morgan. They let them play Bank of America. They let their family clients play with it and invest through them, but not the normal person. And it's because, you know, they're probably testing it, one, but two, they're trying to figure out a way, because, you know, Chuck said it in the beginning, the banks can't compete. So they need to find a way. They're going to find a way. And you can mark my words, quote me, that banks are going to find a way for you to be able to buy crypto through them and them hold it, just like they hold your money now. So that way they can loan your money out, just like they do now. But the power to the people, you know, you don't own your crypto if you don't have them in your own wallet, right? But you don't need the banks anymore, actually, because now Chucks is making 5-12% holding it in an exchange, and he's making that passively, whether you have 1,000, 5,000, 100,000. I mean, 12% starts being a lot, right? And that'll change over time. I'm sure as more people get in, that might lower, but we're just saying that those banks will jump in, and then more people will feel comfortable because they're used to the bank using their money anyways. They're like, oh, I'll buy Bitcoin through the bank because they're going to hold my money and it's safe, because I don't trust myself with my own digital wallet because I'll lose it or I'm forgetful.
And people aren't really used to people aren't used to interest. People aren't really used to making money. I think they're more used to just living and going check to check. But when you start seeing interest hit and month after month after month, it does change your mindset to, you know, maybe, hey, maybe I'll skip this movie tonight and I'll just buy $100 tomorrow of more crypto. And then that $100 becomes $1,000 or whatever. And you figure if that money, you leave it there and you just keep collecting interest, 12% off $100,000, $12,000 a year. The next year it's $15,000.
Passive.
Following year it's $20,000. Your 401k can't compete. Your savings accounts can't compete. Nothing can compete at that point.
What happens when we realize that? That's crazy.
But people aren't always willing to sacrifice, right?
Right.
Take the risk and stuff.
The future, yeah. Their future is really not important. It's more now.
How hard is it to really like create NFTs? Is it that hard to do? Like, do what I have to, like, code it myself? Or are there businesses that do this? Or is it...
So the easy way to answer this is there's different platforms for NFTs. The most popular one, I think, is OpenSea, right? So there's different, and I'll give two different, different platforms. We'll say OpenSea, and I'm going to give you the Theta Drop, because there's two different ways of looking at this. OpenSea, you can go in there, you have your digital collectible that either you made, it could be unique to you, or somebody made it for you. And yeah, you're able to just post it there, put it for sale. And of course, there's going to be fees involved. And then that particular company makes, you know, a portion of that fee. So you're able to do it, video or image, and do it that way. So yeah, technically, you can do your NFTs now if you're willing to take the fees and somebody's willing to buy it, right? Because NFTs are only worth as much as people are willing to pay for them.
Right. Can you explain to, like, the minting? Because I think the minting is probably a big piece of it.
Yeah. So,
well, right?
So with the minting, and I guess I convert over to Theta Drop. So there specifically, you have to get invited. It's exclusive. So Katy Perry, other people, luckily I was partnered up with them, so I'm able to drop exclusively, meaning more traction for me, because it's like VIP, you know, type thing. So with minting, like Carlos was asking, there's different mints. So with my Battle Plus specifically, I have different rarities. Again, common, rare, epic, and legendary. So those have you know, commons have 200, 150, then you have 100 and the legendaries at 50. The mints, right? You're able to then number them and how many your podcast. You're like, you know what? I don't want to dilute it so much. I'm going to sell five of my same podcasts numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? That being non-fungible because they're all different pieces because they're all numbered. So they're all different in their own way. And you're able to then mint them on the blockchain, whether it's your Ethereum or on the Theta blockchain. You mint them, they're made, and then you, of course, put them for sale. Doesn't mean they're going to sell, but it means that you're able to create them. Has your signature on it, who, what, where, when, why on it. And that single fingerprint is what's making NFTs rise. Tickets, redeemables, so forth. But you can, in terms of your question, yeah, you can do them now if you really wanted to. The question is, what's the value of it? It's what people deem the value is.
His audience, his followers.
Yeah, your audience. That engagement is what brings it. You know, my $10 packs, and I knew they were going to rise in price. You know, I would tell people, come buy. Trust me. My community is strong. And then people just follow up. Other people that weren't even in my community, they love these pugs, they love dogs, or they love Data Drop, or whatever. They come in, and now the prices are high. Even the lowest one that, you know, what started again, $10 pack, random. You may get a legendary, you may not. Is going at like $45 minimum. That's four and a half times your money. Again, somebody sold it for $8,400 at a random $10 pack. So then you start looking at the percentages, and you're like, whoa. But anybody can mint them, and it doesn't mean you're going to be successful or not. Most projects, I think it's like 96%, 98% of projects do fail. But it's the way you execute. It's the way your community is and what you're producing and what you're giving out. So those are the things you have to look at before you invest and take on the fees on OpenSea, because they're huge with Ethereum, right? I think there's got to be other avenues. And this is like where Theta Drop, I know it's more exclusive, but other people, like I think Solana does it too, like a little bit cheaper in fees. That way you take a chance at it, because you won't stab at it if it costs you $200 to mint it. So that means you have to sell it at the very least. Yeah. With fees, $250. Yeah, so you need, and they're working on that. Ethereum, you know, the fees are pretty big. There's other blockchains being created to then you be able to be open to post them there, and it costs you, you know, $2 of your money, $10 of your money versus a couple hundred dollars, and you're like, okay, you know what? I'll take a risk, take the chance. But it's all about fan engagement. It's basically with a question where, like, can you do it? Yeah, you can. What's your engagement look like? What's your community look like? Are you building it? Or are you giving something? Are you selling something that people want?
The artist is in control, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what you were saying to gaming. Like, there's some games that weren't really there as far as their concept or design, but the NFT was there. And when you get that right, when you put the work in, then the NFT follows. I mean, it's a great add-on to what you're already doing, or, you know.
Exactly.
If you have your content first, or whatever it is, your community first, and you have the NFT, it's like, I don't know, I think that just makes it more accessible for everybody, yeah. For those who are in the community, for you, for them. So it provides kind of benefits all around for, I think, both sides.
It really does, because they're able to help me, the me dropping, and I sold out in under 2 minutes. Like, I sold out. Congrats. You know, and you're talking, you know, they posted up the number, so I'm comfortable saying it. $40,000 worth under 2 minutes is what I made. That's how much engagement, that's how much possibilities out there. And I'm just mentioning it to people so you understand that this is possible. Now you just have to, build something, you have to have something behind you and get that community. But it's very possible to sell your units and then grow, right? The community wants it too, because they want something part of, you know, somebody part of your podcast. They want your
if you're a follower, you're part of this, and you know, if you're engaged as much as you are in any type of community, obviously, yeah, you're gonna want some sort of part of that.
Yeah.
You're gonna want the whatever it is, the gear or whatever it is that associates you to your favorite, you know, creator or whatever they're dropping, you know.
Right.
So yeah, you're definitely right about that.
And Jaime has a lot of positive, a lot of self-help.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not only just gaming. He's engaged with his family, as he calls it, HGH family. I mean, he does, you know, pictures on his Discord. You know, what are you eating today? People are on his Twitter going back and forth about their pugs, and
yep.
Yeah.
The excitement is there.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's
he's created a community and a family.
That's what I'm learning as a podcaster too. It's not just about doing the episode. It's also about the engagement.
Yes.
And, you know, putting out, like, just this week alone, I was putting out some news articles that I was seeing. I was like, hey guys, what do you guys think about this? You know, asking, you know, those who are following me, you know, what do they think about that? And I'm being very careful on who I'm friend requesting. You know, are they, do they have a similar interest? Like, mm-hmm. I want to actually build a community that has similar interests to what I have, mm-hmm. and try to, like, you know, build that up slowly in time instead of just adding a bunch of people who have no interest in it, you know. Yeah. I like to just build it slowly and build it right.
Yeah.
But it's a big, big piece of it, like you were saying. And that's really important. If you, like you said, if you put up an NFT, okay, that doesn't mean it's going to sell.
Yeah.
Because who's going to buy it?
Yeah. You can't look at it like, I'm going to put a thing in, up and sell it. You know, at least it worked for me. Communities first. Mm-hmm. You build it and they will come, is the saying that people say. You build it, but your heart has to be into it. Why? Because they see it. They're like, this person has some particular passion. They're not going to give up. So the NFT I buy, like, you know what? I want to be part of this community because community won't disappear or something like that. And to what you were saying with the building of a family, I have, you know, always pushed for that because of, you know, with every positive, there's a negative, right? Growing up, being, you know, I spent a lot of time alone in my house, and I wanted to build a family. Like, I felt alone. They might have been there, but I felt alone. Where can I build it? How can I build it? This empire, even at the beginning of the show, like I said, I want to build some empire. How can I do it? Well, I ended up building what we have here, community first, and it's called Heist Gaming Hub, but HGH, like, you know, human growth hormone, because we're growing humans there too. Does that make sense? It's like a sense on the word too. So we're growing people, we're having fun, we're learning about crypto, we're gaming, and then that alone built that foundation, which that alone then brings the sales of the entities, then builds, you know, the empire that you want. And it's just after that, is I don't know what else is to come. Sky is the limit because we're just getting started with this. What happens if my battle pucks, and if I see the metaverse, the thetaverse coming into play? Well, guess what? My battle pucks might come to life in the next year. I don't know what's going to happen, right? But if that opportunity, with the funding that I've gotten and the support that I have,
resources you start to build,
then you create. I create a world in the metaverse with the help of my community. With my community, I'm like, guys, we want to build a castle, like, because I'm medieval, right? Let's actually build a castle. We all are together building a castle.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? You start thinking, and it just blows your mind
because this opportunity.
It doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop.
It could, like, legit happen though. That's just crazy.
I get excited. Yeah, I don't know if you could tell. I get really excited.
A lot of these are just at work thoughts. Just come and I'll bounce it off him. I'll give him stuff for free. I'll tell him, hey, just get me later. You know, like.
Yeah, they did a meme with me. Like, you know what? HGH has an NFT idea, but really it's any idea. It's a guy like with 1,000 papers on the board with, you know, like a string connecting to this. And the guy's like going crazy, like pointing at the wall. It's because it's there, right? I told you, I got the vision. I just don't know how to put it down sometimes. Yeah. But the problem is, I'm able to eventually, these ideas can actually come to life now with the metaverse coming into play and the NFTs coming into play. These ideas that we just kind of like throw back and forth. Yeah. Actually, I know it seems not, it is possible. It is possible. And don't let anybody tell you that it's not possible, because I'm here and I'm doing it. So, you know, whatever you want to focus on, whether it's a streaming thing or whatnot, you could, even if you own a barbershop, you can go create some NFTs of your particular haircuts, or it doesn't really matter.
Can you imagine? This unlocks so much stuff for so many different people, dude.
Or you, a redeemable NFT. Here's my haircut, but if you get this NFT, there's 5 free haircuts. I'm just going to give it for free. Who wants this NFT? It's a picture of me, but you get 5 free haircuts. You can redeem them.
I buy this barber, you know, and he's always your barber. You know, like today, I think Quentin Tarantino, they announced they're going to come out with 6 NFTs on 6 unreleased scenes from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you can imagine if they put them at auction, what are they going to pay for them, right? What would you pay for a scene nobody's ever seen with insider commentary from Quentin Tarantino? I mean, that's...
Most likely a couple $1 million.
Best movies. I mean,
right. And you own it.
Yeah.
So if you want to resell it in 10 years, 20 years, you own a piece of Pulp Fiction, the movie. I mean,
Probably millions, hundreds of thousands, very minimum.
Yeah. It's a classic. Can be, you know, can be beat.
No.
And you're talking fans. You're talking collectors.
I mean, look at my room right now, dude. I'm obviously a collector. I collect pops. I collect Star Wars stuff. I like, and so you can imagine there's people out there, like our age.
Yeah.
We're ripe for this, you know, which is, it's crazy. It's mind-boggling. Just like where we're at.
Right? Yeah, I think it's a lot of times we're at work and we're just like, what could we think of now? Or we'll just throw an idea out there and we're like, oh my God, that's like brilliant.
Yeah, it's doable.
And Jaime can make it happen if, you know. And, you know, I told him, like, I've had ideas in the past and I've told you ideas that I've had, but there's really no way of me at that time thinking like, oh, it's not possible for me to create this.
Chuck basically talked about this metaverse thing, you know, a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And I was a digital
world where you can go meet local people and a digital city or whatever and walk up to them and be like, hey, blah, 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 friend request you. And then next thing you know, in real life, you're actually meeting this person,
digital Tinder almost.
It was almost that. It was almost like a digital, some type of, or just digital hangout. And I told him, like, hey, this idea I think is crazy, but I think, I don't know how to create it, but it was in my mind.
It's in your mind.
Right
now it's probably now something that's already being worked on.
Now
it's not like even if it's probably already.
Yeah.
Your Tinder, your match.com, you have an avatar actually, and you can actually go in the world. Yeah. That right. probably something that's already been worked right. on. Why not?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's out there. Yeah. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in a different way, right? Yeah. But the metaverse is just going to crank it up. You're talking VR. You're talking. It's going to crank it up. And yeah, like you said.
Did you see any like video clips of that? The metaverse and what that's going to look like? Did you get to catch any clips of what that looks like?
They, so far? Yeah, they showed it. I mean, it looks like it just looks like a video game with some avatars in there. Don't mistake in that. You know, like it shows you what, I mean, that's there to bring in people in things that they're familiar with. There's much more.
You think it would have to be like almost a website sort of like where you go into it, log in, you're in the verse, you can kind of click around, move around, kind of like a Google Maps type. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but you would think like it would have to be something like that, or you have some type of machine that you buy maybe that just takes you to the metaverse. How would that look?
It's probably all on the blockchain. I mean, it will be all on the blockchain and then just tuning in like it's a video game. I mean, I don't know if you ever played, I always bring up World of Warcraft because I was a big guy in World of Warcraft, and those MMORPGs are actually worlds, but imagine one that's not like that, right? Fantasy is not for everybody, just a normal world where you can just be whatever you want to be, whenever you want to be. You're not a millionaire, but you're a millionaire in the game. You're a billionaire in the game.
You're the mayor.
Respect. You're the mayor. You're whatever you want to be.
Yeah. Have you watched Black Mirror at all?
I have.
Yeah, there's one of the episodes, he takes his coworkers or something into this game he has. Have you seen that episode?
Yes.
And he's like a Star Trek fan, and he brings him into the Star Trek.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. It's super like interesting because I like Black Mirror a lot because it's like showing you what's possible, and it like takes you on that borderline, like, oh, this is what happens when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I think it's that's a dope series for anybody who hasn't watched that, like Black Mirror. Check that out.
Yeah. I need to catch up.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen. I need to catch up.
Yeah.
Black Mirror. Oh, yeah. That's
might be on for tonight.
Yeah. That's intense, and it really does. It in some of those episodes, you start to see like possibility is not an if, it's just a when at this point. Now I don't know if your mind in that case, your mind was in there, so if something happened, it probably would go south and you get stuck.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you're starting to feel like you're in. I mean, eventually, a couple years down the road, maybe it'll be that deep where the VR, you know, you kind of like phase out and into. But I'm like right now, this is just the beginning of creating the metaverse.
What if like transgender people really took on this different profile on the metaverse? Like they might be a guy, but they're a woman on the metaverse or something.
Well, I think that happens now with catfishing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can easily capture Jaime's picture and start an Instagram, but me as this guy with this pug and, you know, hey, I like to go hiking and jogging and I'm HGH. I could easily do that as a woman or a guy, right? Either way.
True.
So it does exist and people will do that. So,
but I guess maybe the blockchain might help in that aspect because it's probably will identify maybe your origin.
Or maybe we're just genderless going forward and there's no gender.
Yeah.
we're just human, right?
Pretty crazy. Well, on that
avatars.
On that thought, you know, I want to just thank you once again, Jaime, for coming on to the show and like blowing our minds with all this, like, and introducing us to your world of NFTs and what's going on, and really giving us an intro to that world so that we can even, you know, research that and get involved in that ourselves. Go ahead and give a plug, man, for where people can find you, where they can tune into your streaming and to your conversations that you guys are having in your community.
Okay. So like I said, guys, I stream on Theta TV. So you can go to heistgaminghub.theta.tv and you can go there. That's our live stream. There you can also find links to our Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We're really everywhere. And we're really, really involved. So if you guys ever want to check it out, please come in. We got those NFTs and we got the knowledge to at least point you in the right direction. Doesn't need to be in the Theta network. It could be just any crypto general stuff, because we speak about that too in the news. And just stop by and say hi, guys. Just let us know where you came from, and we'll shout you out too.
Awesome.
I would say this is not financial advice, but definitely get involved in crypto. Definitely get involved with NFTs. Definitely get involved with theta.tv/heistgaminghub. I mean, this guy's big time. I mean, he's positive and nothing to lose. I mean, nothing but inspiration. But yeah, definitely crypto. Keep it in mind. I mean, if you want to, you know, go against inflation, it's the best way.
All right, thank you again, Jaime. I really appreciate you making the time to be here, man. Thank you so much. I know you got a schedule. This guy posts, he does his thing on schedule, man. And that's a difficult thing to do. Doing this podcast thing, you guys know. Who follow me? You know it's hard. So give him some love. And thank you again, Jaime. Thank you, Chuck, for making this happen. And I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you.
All right, take care.